for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2013 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tuesday morning, December the 31st, 2013. Nikki Pinson is the speaker of the morning, teaching on deliverance from the snare.
Well, praise God. Huh. Is this the best wine the last? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? All right, praise God. I can, excuse my voice this morning. I can myself detect a more higher spiritual level in this camp than the last one. And let's just believe God keeps building. Amen. That's what He wants. Amen. Just keep building, praise God. We haven't seen nothing yet, praise God. What He wants to do. A few things I want to tell you before I get started. I just really feel impressed to ask you. I wanted to last night for God. We need a mobile home where we're at for the family that works there. And God can find that mobile home and get it for us, praise God, and without us going in debt. So I just want to mention that. I need to make a correction. It's GC Bevington instead of GV Bevington. I looked it up on Amazon. You can buy the book from anywhere from $158 to $5. So I don't know why it's like that, but a lot of times are. And you can get it in paperback, hardback, or on Kindle. There's another book, Pray and Hide, that I'd recommend. He was a missionary to India, and they got aggravated with him because he wasn't applying himself to learning the Indian language, but he's praying all the time. And one time, he was a speaker at a meeting, and he was down on his knees praying, and they couldn't get him up. And when they tapped on what he informed them, that talking to God was more important than talking to them. You know, Smith Wigglesworth one time in Africa, he was in his hotel, and some of the leaders didn't like the way he was doing it. They said it's too rough with the devil. You know how he'd punch people in the stomach while he was praying for them. And he wasn't hitting them, he was hitting the devil. But they were healed. Let me ask something. What would hurt more than the surgeon cutting on you and sewing you back up, putting staples in? My grandson just had 13 staples taken out of him. What would you rather be punched or cut on? I mean, if you're trying to, be well. And so they knocked on the door, and he wouldn't come to the door. And finally he came down in the hotel to the lobby, and they said, "Well, you're rude. You didn't know. We heard you in there talking, and you wouldn't answer the door." And he rebuked him, said, "I was talking to God. More important than talking to you." There's a lady named Jane in Minnesota that's watching us. Do you know that? On the internet. And she emailed me this morning, told me it's 25 degrees below there. And the reason she emailed, she asked, she didn't catch the name of the book by Bevington. And I'm going to ask you this. Is the Lord, is He the good Lord? Is He the man upstairs? You ever hear people call Him that? Just know this. They don't know Him. I'm sorry, but they don't know Him. Or is He the sweetest name on mortal tongue? Praise God. Is He the rose of Sharon to you? The bright and morning star. And I want to give one more thing before I start. These are just some thoughts the Lord has given me over there. When I appreciate the prophetic words this morning. Now that's what I really believe worship are to bring us to that, to prophetic utterances. And other things. I mean, that's what it's supposed to be, bring us in the presence of God. I appreciate that Sister Jane has given place, and this is what is done here. You give place to the Holy Spirit. I've been in services where the Holy Spirit couldn't have got in if he had to. They weren't going to let him. I mean, chop, 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 you know, and they had it all planned out. But it's a word from the Lord. A word. It's not a book. It's not an essay. I hope you understand what I'm saying. A word. And the Lord can get more done. When I say a word, I don't mean one word, but you know, just a word. A thought. He can get more done with that. In fact, if it gets too long and too involved, it loses its value and its anointing, I believe. If the Lord uses you, and he would to God that all God's people were prophets now. And if he uses you, don't try to sound super spiritual. I've heard some, you know, the Lord, you know, and just get all in their God voice or something. You don't need to do that. Just be you. Just be you. If you stumble and you know, somebody says, well, they stumbled while they're here. That must not be God. No, that's not so. Don't. We're human beings. Praise God. All right. I want to talk to you this morning about deliverance from the snare. Deliverance from the snare. Father, oh, hallelujah, Lord. You've been so good to us in this camp. You have come. You have visited us. You have worked wonderful works. And we give you praise and glory and honor. Hallelujah, Father. And again, Lord, I love that, Lord. We're building history here. Praise God, Lord. It doesn't matter how large or small the crowd is. There's people going to hear these messages for many years to come. So we're not just talking to them right here, Father. And we thank you for it. We thank you for everyone involved here, Father. And everyone that works here comes in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 91:3. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Now, a snare is a bird trap. It's anything serving to entrap or entangle unawares. Now, unawares, not that we didn't know what we were doing. I mean, you know, in getting in entrapped. But we really didn't know what we were doing because we didn't understand the consequences. You know, what did Jesus say about the ones that were crucified? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They knew what they were doing, but they didn't really know what they were doing. It's a wonderful thing to have compassion on your persecutors. It's a wonderful thing. A fowler is a trapper of birds, a bait layer. It's someone to catch, entangle, or involved by trickery, enticement, or luring, or by deceit. I believe it's right to say the devil is a fowler. Fowl, you know, birds, fowler. Trapper. He's a bait layer. He catches and imprisons men, women, boys, and girls in his trap. By enticing, luring, and deceiving them through their flesh. Through their flesh. Now, it can be through our mind, but it seems to be primarily through the flesh. And in 2 Peter 2:19, they promise them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. That's depravity and wickedness. For whatever overcomes a man, to that he is enslaved. To that he is enslaved. Can you look at yourself this morning and see, are you enslaved to something? I used to get off work and start home, and I had to go by this little convenience store and get a bag of popcorn and a Coke. I could not drive home without a bag of popcorn and a Coke. And the Lord dealt with me about it. Now, you may think I'm crazy. I talked to you last night about my smart mouth. But I was enslaved to that. I could not. I had to have that to go home. And it's almost like the drunk's got to go by the bar and get him a drink before he goes home. And it was a real test to not do it. Praise God. And let me say, when you catch yourself enslaved to anything, food, drink, programs, whatever it is, just break that off. Paul said he wouldn't be brought under the power of any of that. We've got to be free to our Lord. Well, enslaved. We have two states of existence here, freedom and enslavement. Freedom and enslavement. Which are we today? We're not talking about political enslavement, but moral. Let me say something about political enslavement. On the internet, there's a lot of good people, but I just don't feel impressed myself with the Lord to get involved in politics. Jesus didn't. He never walked, he never marched in front of an abortion clinic. He never got a petition drive. He never hired a lawyer. He never did any of that. That's a distraction. Go after souls. Be a light to this world. Praise God. Sometimes when we attack those people that have different views from us, the gay community or whatever, when we attack them, we lose them. We have little chance of winning them to the Lord. David Wilkerson said that the Lord corrected him over a term that he gave gay people. They weren't called gays way back there, but a term he gave him, and God convicted him of it, and he apologized for it. Now, and we've heard wonderful messages this camp about loving the person, you know, and hating what they're doing. And the scripture says that. Snatching them from the fire, hating the garment that's stained. Now, we're not talking about political enslavement, but moral enslavement. Let me say this. You can serve God under a communist government. People have. They are in China. You can serve God under anything. If you can't, something's wrong with your relationship with God. We're talking about moral enslavement or being enslaved to sin and wickedness. Now, I know there's enslavements in our mind and so forth, but listen, a slave cannot set a slave free. A believer in Christ who's enslaved to sin cannot bring deliverance to another person that is enslaved in sin. The seven sons of Sceva could not bring deliverance from the man at Ephesus in whom an evil spirit was abiding, even though they commanded him in the name of Jesus whom Paul preached, yet they could not do it. If we want to be used in the ministry of deliverance to set captives free, and all the people need to be free. People need to be free. But if we want to be used, then we must be free ourselves from bondage to sin. They that bear the vessels of the Lord must be holy. Now, Acts 19:15, I'm going to read that. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overcame them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. What a fight that was. One man beating up seven men. Well, it's the devil in that man. The devil doesn't recognize or obey those that are his slaves and in bondage themselves. He does not recognize. That's why he said, I don't know you. I know Paul and I know Jesus. A sick, you can get in trouble. Listen, you can get, what, you remember when the king, oh, I can't remember which one, went into the house of God to offer incense, and the 80 of them came in there, and they said, they warned him, said, this does not appertain to you. Back off. Take your hands off. Yeah, and he got wroth, and leprosy appeared. Am I thinking it's Uzziah? I believe, probably. Well, praise God. You know, it's all right to admit you don't remember everything in the Bible. I never have been really good at quoting scripture or telling where it's located. But that's all right. I know what it says. Thank you, Jesus. And just so it comes to me when I need it. Amen. Praise God. But a person that's a slave to sin cannot bring deliverance, because the devil does not have to obey a servant of sin or a sinner. 1 John 3:8, he that commits sin is of the devil. Oh, that's powerful. Oh, people, that's, you talk about skipping over verses in the Bible and passages in the Bible. He that commits sin is of the devil. For the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whether it's in my life or your life. Mark 3:23, and Jesus called him unto him and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? And if we're of sinning, we're of the devil, we cannot cast the devil out. That doesn't mean that if you're being used to God and you come up to some, come in contact with someone you're trying to work with and you can't get anywhere, don't let the devil tell you, hey, you must be mine because you can't do anything. No. Jesus went to Nazareth and could do no mighty works because of their unbelief. And I just want to tell you, I want to encourage you, if you're working in any kind of ministry and it seems like it's not being accepted, it seems like you're not being successful, just, you know what? The results are God's. They're not ours. Just give it to God. You obey God and give it to God. Remember this, that we're called not only to save people, but to condemn them. Everyone that Noah didn't save, he condemned. And in judgment, when the witnesses are brought, you know, people stand in judgment, and witnesses are brought. And I can see some pastors maybe being brought up there, and the Lord saying, did you preach this and this to them? Yes, I did. Okay, there's a witness right there. You understand? Sometimes we're providing a witness against them. Shake the dust off as a witness against them. Praise God. So understand that. And I want to say this. Don't waste your time on deadbeats. Don't waste your time on people that don't really want deliverance. They say they do, but their actions don't show it. Don't waste your time. There are people that come and suck you up and everything you've got, while there's people standing right two people down the line that would receive. And I don't, maybe the devil's planted them there so that you, by the time you get them, you're wore out. Or they finally give up and leave. So be wise as the serpent harmless as the dove. Some people, it's not time. They're just not ready for deliverance. Praise God. We talked about that, didn't we? Well, glory to God. Now, this, and I'm glad we did. The scripture declares that those that sin are of the devil, and therefore they cannot cast the devil out of anyone. Now, escaping the snare of the fowler. Psalm 91:3, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. 2 Peter 2:26, for if after they've escaped the defilements of the world, through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they're again entangled in him and overpowered. That's sad, isn't that a sad picture? Excuse me, entangled and overpowered. The last state has become worse for them than the first. And these are some of the people you'll come across in ministry. And you don't know what's happening because maybe the Holy Spirit hadn't revealed. That's another thing. Don't let the devil mess with you because you don't know. Because the Holy Spirit. Remember when the woman that built the apartment for the man of God, and the boy died, and she got on her donkey and was riding hard, and here she comes, and the man of God said, they figured out who it was and said, well, I don't know why God hadn't revealed to me why she's coming. The lady had to tell him why. So don't let the devil, you know what I'm saying? Well, you must not be anything because you can't hear it from God. That's a lie. Praise God. God hides some things from us. And I'll tell you something else God does. Sometimes he lets us know we're not as good or perfect. Or I'm not trying to destroy your confidence. We must have confidence in ministry. If you don't have confidence, you're not going to get anywhere in ministry. Know who you are, what God's called you to do, and stay within that perimeter. Praise God. And if God's not using you today, don't get discouraged. If he doesn't use you next week, for the next month, there are people in that Bible that they did one thing. But it changed the course of history. One thing. And thank God for it. Praise God. I don't have to do everything. I don't have to save everybody. I don't have to have the largest church. I don't have to be on TV. I don't want to be on TV. I was telling them that this is talking about the DVDs. I can't stand to listen to myself talk on the CD, and I know I couldn't stand to watch myself. Praise God. I couldn't. Well, praise God. I'm not too excited about looking in the mirror at myself as far as that goes. You know what it is. You're going along, you're getting older, and you still feel like yourself. Until you look in the mirror. What happened? Who's that old man there? Praise God. Well, it just creeps up on you, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Praise God. You know, I want to say this. I've been eating too much lately. But there's this old preacher, we'd have meetings, and he'd come up and he'd pat me on the stomach and say, all these preachers coming to the front. Come into the front, you know. Praise God. I said, it's all right. I knew him. I knew what, you know, that's him. He was too. Praise God. I don't mind somebody's bald making a joke about being bald. When somebody got head hair, I don't like that. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, I don't need to say that. Yeah. Praise God. Cut that tattletale off. All right. How is it? Overcome. To escape means to be delivered. Amen. And again, we're not talking about political prisoners, but prisoners to sin or evil spirits, emotions, different things, attachments, and sicknesses of all kinds. Now, how can a person, and God may use us in the area of delivering people from spirits, but maybe not from sickness, you know. Again, just abide in the call. The scripture said, abide in the call and where he's called you. And but it's all right to ask God to, you feeling a desire, it's all right to ask God to move you into another one. Let me tell you something else. It's all right to ask God to bless you spiritually. But if all you ever ask for is financial blessings or physical blessings, but it's all right. The devil will tell you, there's a song, something about all God's people are at the table and nobody's out there in the harvest field. We need to all get up and go out there. You're not going to do anything in the harvest field unless you get blessed at the table, first place. You've got to spend time with him, and your ministry comes out of your relationship with him and the revelations he gives you. Praise God. Now, hallelujah. To escape means to be delivered. How can a person escape from their prison of sin, darkness, sickness? It's through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The knowledge, and that knowledge is truth. And in John 8:31, Jesus, I know I read this a lot, but this is our theme passage of Scripture right here. I don't know if somebody's reading on the internet, and I don't know if they were correcting me or what, but I call it Scripture. I say that in the Scripture, and they said, that's only the Old Testament. It bothered me a little bit.
Yeah.
Scripture's only the Old Testament, you know. What they were saying was, all the references in the New Testament was said Scripture is talking about the Old Testament. Well, they didn't have the New Testament written yet. But then you get on over there in the New Testament, it says all Scripture, praise God, is given by inspiration. So I'm all right calling Scripture. I felt better after that.
Amen.
The more you get out there, the more you're going to get corrected. And some of it is just junk, and you just pay no attention. If you're going to get your little feathers, you know, down and get your little self hurt every time, you, praise God, just get up and go on. All right, now, this scripture here. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word. He can't put enough emphasis on if you continue in my word. Then are you my disciples indeed, but not until. Call ourselves whatever we want to, but it's all dependent and contingent upon us abiding in his word, continuing his word, living in his word, living by his word, living in the confines of his word. And you shall know the truth. And that's the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed. We've never in bondage to any man. How can you say you shall be made free? And as I mentioned last night, they're either awful forgetful or something. But they were in bondage in Egypt, Babylon, and they were in bondage when they said this to the Roman government. Jesus said, answer them, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is servant, the servant of sin. That's a strong indictment, isn't it? But Jesus is the one that's judging this thing here. And the servant stays not in the house forever. That's Jesus. The servant stays not in the house. But the Son, Jesus, stays forever. If the Son, therefore, if is a big word to be so small. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. How did Jesus know they were trying to kill him? They sent him threatening letters or emails or something? No, the Spirit showed him. And the Spirit can make you aware of who your enemies are. He can make you aware. Praise God. Not so you can get the first strike in, but so you can be wise. Praise God. It's all, you know what? It's all right to be what the world calls a coward. I mean, Jesus, when he knew they were going to do these things, stone him and different things, and he's aware, he just slipped out of it. And you can be right, but you can be dead right. And you can be dead before it's God's time for you to be dead. You know, you can pull up the intersection, it's your turn to go, and you can be right, but you can be dead right. So, you know, you pop out there and somebody hits you in the side. And just back off. All this stuff, I've had a real problem with that all my life. My rights. You know, it was my turn or my this or that. God's had to work on me about that. Praise God. Really, that's pride, and it's God. It's exalting ourselves, and God will abase us. Unless we're continuing his word and thereby his disciples, which the seven sons of Sceva were not his disciples, then we're not free. We cannot be free, and we cannot bring deliverance to anyone. Now, does his word have a place in us? We cannot operate in a ministry of deliverance, any ministry, if we're not abiding in his word. You know, have you noticed that the Holy Spirit, the word of knowledge, wisdom, prophecy, these verbal gifts almost always contain scripture. And you want God to use you, but you don't know any scripture. You just cancel yourself out. Get in the word, learn those scriptures so the Holy Spirit can speak to you, because that's what he wants to talk about, is the word. 2 Timothy 2:25, in meekness instructing those that oppose him. What? In meekness. Thank God you see meekness here. If God perhaps will grant them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who were taken captive by him at his will. Now, repentance means to acknowledge the truth about ourselves and what we're doing, and where we're at, and who we are. We can attempt to repent all day long, day after day, but unless God grants us repentance. You know, just because we come and sit down in the church and attempt to worship doesn't mean God accepts our worship.
Amen.
He doesn't have to do anything we want him to do. And there have been, I talked to you about in one message, there have been people, I've seen them try to repent and they couldn't repent. Because God has to grant your repentance. And it's all right to ask him to do that. Don't go demanding it from God. Who are we? Who are we?
Yeah.
You ever been on the top of a tall building or a tower or something, look down the little ants, two-legged ants walking around, and I'm talking about people? We're nothing. The Lord gave me this illustration. I used to do this when I was preaching. God can do this with you. You know, just snuff you out.
Yes,
praise God. Esau sought a place of repentance earnestly with tears, but he could not find that place, for God rejected him. The question is, have you found a place of repentance? Or do you even want to repent? Now, maintaining our deliverance. 2 Peter 2:21, for it would have been better for them to have never known the way of righteousness, than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. It has happened to them according to the true proverb, the dog turns back to its own vomit. And the sow that was washed returns to water in the mire. I was praying with a young lady. Be careful. And she vomited out the awful stuff. Returning to their own vomit. Are you getting that? Are you seeing that? You know, you vomited that thing out and you're going to go back to it? Eat it up again? Do you see that? Pretty nasty, isn't it? You ever watch the dog eat its own vomit?
No, I don't want to.
Well, I have.
It's pretty gross. I don't like that.
I don't like it either. But there's something worse than that, and that's after you know, and you've been delivered, and you go back. That's worse.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you're here seeking deliverance, you came seeking deliverance, and you're not committed to maintaining that deliverance, it would be better for you to go home without being made free. That's what he's saying. One morning, a little after midnight, the Lord spoke to me about maintaining my own deliverance. First, the Lord told me to never, never go back to the bondage that he had delivered me from. Never go back. He reminded me how that I had struggled and fought to be free from that bondage, and how that despite all my efforts, I was not able to set myself free. The Lord reminded me of the wounds and the abuse that I had suffered on account of that bondage. And that's the devil's plan. Hurt us. Came to steal, kill, and destroy. How's he going to do that? Well, bondage is a good way to do it. The trap, the Fowler's trap, which he reminded me what I suffered. And he delivered me from it. The Lord showed me how he had opened the door of the snare of the fowl. That's where this message came from. And that's what I heard when I was praying and he was talking to me, the snare of the fowler. He'd opened that door to that trap, that snare. He allowed me to escape and go free. But I must never, never go back to that bondage again. Thank God I never smoked. I tried a couple of times. My eyes watered and I thought, anybody doing this is crazy. I tried smoking a cigar. I thought maybe I can do that. It made me sick. Thank God I'm a wimp. And beer, I couldn't stand the smell. I said, how could anybody drink that stuff? Nasty. Fermented nastiness. So I cannot claim that I'm this super spiritual person that could resist. My body just couldn't stand the stuff. So thank you, Jesus. Amen. You know something? Don't be too hard on other people that have got these problems in their life. Maybe you're just not as susceptible to them as they are. Maybe the devil hasn't tempted you like he did them. Maybe God's been protecting you, so you're not so great after all. You should be thanking God. We should be praising Him. But for the grace of God, there go I. Except for the grace of God, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. That ought to get you to praising Him and thanking Him. And the Lord showed me that He'd opened the door for the children of Israel and allowed them to escape from their bondage in Egypt. He opened the door of the Red Sea. He delivered them from the Egyptian army. Our deliverance is just as great. You hear me? Just as much a miracle as that water part and then walk across on dry land. Oh, hallelujah it is. But He didn't deliver them to their own selves. You're not set free to be your boss, your own boss. He delivered them unto His own self in that wilderness. 1 Corinthians 6:19, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God? And you're not your own. Children of Israel, you're not your own. And friends here this morning, he delivered you, he bought you when he did. Did you know what you was asking for when you was asking for deliverance? Did you think it's all free? No, there's a price. And it's you. It's your body. It's your mind, your soul, your spirit. Go to the doctor's office and see if it's free. Maybe somewhere, I don't know, but Go anywhere and see if it's free. It amazes me. People come to church and want to sit there for free. Because we're begging them to come because we need more people. Well, go to the theater and see if they'll just let you come in and sit down in one of their seats for free. Praise God. That's right. For you're bought with a price.
Yeah.
I'll just stop and say, if you don't, I don't know what y'all believe about tithes, but If I'm not in agreement, just forgive me. If you won't pay your tithes and your first fruits and your offerings, you ain't going to heaven. No. No, sir, you're not going to heaven. You're a thief. And thieves are not going to heaven. If there's somebody sitting here, you've been holding on to God's money, I hope that has cut you to the heart. Praise God. And I hope you repent. Praise God.
Amen.
You owe God. You owe Him. And you know what He'll do? He'll get it back.
Amen.
I know He will, with interest.
Amen.
Have you ever, I just can't afford to pay my tithes this month.
Oh,
can't afford not to.
That's right. And then when this tragedy crisis comes, I guess I could have afforded it been cheaper. Praise God. For you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. That's listed first, and in your spirit, which are God's. If we could realize what it cost Him to buy us. You hear me? I mean, that wasn't a circus on Golgotha. It wasn't a birthday party or trip to Six Flags. If we could realize what it cost Him to purchase us. Now, the blessedness of deliverance, it comes at a great price. It's a great victory, a blessing. Therefore, we must highly value it. Highly value it. I have one key to my 2003 Mitsubishi. It took me a long time to pronounce the car. My youngest son said, "Well, do you know what else Mitsubishi brought us?" I said, "No." He said, "Pearl Harbor. They built the engines, you know." But anyway, and he'll ride in it. He doesn't mind riding. But praise God. I have one key. The reason I have one key is because it costs about $80 to get another key. I know where that key's at. I protect that key. I keep my eye on that key. And some people do a better job of keeping up with their key to their automobile than they do their deliverance. Amen. Deliverance is never missed till it's lost. Praise God, and it can be lost. It can be lost. I mean, if we lose our salvation, I know some people don't believe that, but if we lose our salvation, we lose our deliverance. Matthew 12:43, when the unclean spirit's gone out of a man, he walks through dry places, seeking rest and finds none. Then he said, "I will return unto my house from where I came out." Are you a house that a spirit used to live in? And when he's come, he finds it empty, swept, and garnished. I don't believe I need to go into all that, what is empty, swept, and garnished or decorated. Then he goes and takes with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Sometimes that's the people we run up against in deliverance ministry, you know, or as pastors or whatever. Well, what is wrong here? We can give the Lord rest in our body, or we can give unclean spirits rest in our body. They're going to go back. They couldn't find rest. They go back to the person they came out of for rest. If you're not giving the Lord rest in your body, watch out, those spirits will come back and find rest. Is that clear? After some are delivered from unclean spirits, they decide that they're more comfortable in the snare than in freedom and deliverance. It's a lady one time, always, "Oh, she pray for my husband and you'll get saved." He was an alcoholic. "He's doing this and he's doing that. And our home is tore up." And well, he came and he got saved. And she didn't like him. She didn't like the saved man. And I'll tell you, she worked just as hard to get him unsaved as she did to get him saved. She couldn't, when he got saved, she couldn't act like she used to act. You know, she couldn't whine and moan and fuss and accuse and talk about him, and it was more comfortable for him to be unsaved. It fit her needs. The children of Israel, you know, they ended up divorced. And I preached her funeral. Actually, she was cremated, but she'd been gone for a long time. I didn't even know where she was at, but her daughter knew where I was at and called me up, "Brother Benson, would you come preach Mama's funeral? I know she didn't want you to preach it." Last time she left, she got me told. Praise God. But I went. The children of Israel delighted more. Can I tell you what? She smoked. And this is when the first time our church had literally fallen apart. It's like somebody flipped a switch and said, "Empty the place out." We got so low we couldn't. I really, that's the only time I've ever been there that I thought we'd have to close. We couldn't pay the bills. And we had this nice new building, 11 people sitting in it, including children. But these people were doing it, and she comes, not at the same time we had, they're all doing it separate. And one lady got stomped out while I was preaching, took her family saw her, go, "Mom, let's leave it." And they all took out after Mom. That's her fourth or fifth time to leave. But anyway, this lady come back, she said, "You just don't have any love. You're too hard, you know." I'm sorry. Why is it if the doctor tells you to quit smoking, it's all right? But if the pastor tells you he doesn't have love, praise God. It's stupid, isn't it? Praise God. Well, thank you, Jesus. Now, after some are delivered from unclean spirits, they decide they're more comfortable in that snare. The children of Israel delighted more in the things of their former bondage in Egypt than they did in the things of God in the wilderness. They were more comfortable, wanted to go back. At one point, they're going to stone Moses, elect the new leader, and go back. But God had to intervene. And thank God he did for their sake, for their children's sake. Actually, they desire both, but we can't have both, for we will love one and despise the other. There's a battle going on for your soul. Amen. There are no other choices. Our only choice is either bondage by the devil or deliverance unto the Lord. That's the only choice. There's no gray area. There's no purgatory in this thing. In other words, unless we're delivered unto the Lord, let me say, don't be presuming upon the Lord. Someday I'll get delivered. You know, after I've had my fun, I'm too old to enjoy it anymore.
Yeah.
Because I've seen too many that couldn't. They're reprobates. There's an old man in our church who came two different times. Meanest man, and I'm not going to tell you all that, but it's awful. I'll tell you, he raised his fist at me. He sued me. He threatened me. He did a lot over a period of time. I'd like to tell you about him, but anyway. I said, "Lord, what is this man?" And the Lord said, I didn't even know what a reprobate was, but the Lord told me he's a reprobate. So I had to look it up, get the definition. And sure enough, he was. You know what a reprobate is? They can't get saved. God's tried them, and it's over with for them. They're going to live out the rest of their life mean, miserable, hurting people. He herded his cows with a shotgun. You know, I can't tell this. One time he called me up and he said, "I want you to help me load this calf. The mother of the cow won't take the calf, won't let it nurse. I'm going to load it up. And if you'll help me load it, I'll give it to you." The cow. The calf is in the trailer. Now, this is the best chute I ever saw. I mean, you know what a chute is. And it started out real wide and went around kind of tricking the cow, you know, and got narrow. Cow was smarter. High fence that wild, crazy cow couldn't jump. We were there, it seems like, about an hour. Getting nowhere. And it came to me, and I pointed my finger at that cow. And I said, "In the name of Jesus, you get in that chute. You can believe me or not," that cow turned around and went down that chute right into the trailer. Should have done that the first. Now, I've tried other times, but it did. By the way, he didn't give me the calf, because when the calf got in there, it started nursing and everything's okay. And so he brought me some old stunning calf over there and gave that to me instead. Praise God. Well, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, for the calf. Only took about an hour to get a calf. That's pretty cheap, you know. Praise God. Pointing your finger at a cow. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, thank you, Jesus. In other words, when we're delivered unto the Lord, unless we take His yoke upon us, then we'll remain in the yoke of bondage. We will. Or we'll be that empty, swept, and garnished. You cannot get His yoke off you, the devil's yoke, and not take the Lord's yoke. You can't. It won't stand. "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden's light. We'll either wear the devil's yoke or the world's yoke, or we'll wear the Lord's yoke. And you're not wearing your own yoke. You'll wear one of those. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Somebody telling you what to do when you said that. For there's nothing in between. There is no other options. We cannot be a place of rest for the Lord unless He gives us rest. I'll give you rest. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, including deliverance, repentance, grant repentance. And the scripture says we have nothing unless the Lord gives it to us. You're talking about ministry or anything. And just as we can only love Him because He first loved us. Everything, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Anything we have today, anything, any ministry, any deliverance, anything we, our salvation, it came from Him. Every good and perfect gift. Now, what is the purpose of His yoke? It's to learn of Him. To learn of Him. It's to be controlled by Him. But it's also to be protected and all the other things that go with it. Now, it's to learn of Him or to learn or to come to know Him as the Holy Spirit reveals Him in our hearts. You could think of that yoke as the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Now we see how that His yoke sets us free. If we're doing the will of God, then we're not doing the will of the devil, are we? As we learn of Him, we're learning truth. As we learn truth, we're being made free. You know, that yoke keeps you in the right place, doing the right thing. The Holy Spirit does that, guides us into all truth. Praise God. This world's yoke is a yoke of oppression and bondage, just as it was for the children of Israel in Egypt. You know, in a beer commercial, they're going to show the young people, always young, trim, beautiful people out there on the beach. And this guy, I remember this, he starts drinking a beer. And all of a sudden, there's all these beautiful, half-naked, three-fourths naked women playing volleyball on the beach. One time, the Texas OU football game, they're in the Cotton Bowl. The night before is a drunken party all over Dallas, especially downtown Dallas. We teenagers, we want to go down and see it. Just see, you know, we didn't go to do that. I saw them in the gutter, vomiting in the gutter. I thought, well, why don't you show that? Why don't you show that on your commercial? Why don't you show the terror? Well, they do show the wrecks, but not on the commercial. You know, they show that on the news with the drunk people, you know, killing people. What a deception this world is. Now, praise God. Knowing the truth, we must continue in His Word. Hallelujah. This is, unless we know the truth, we'll never be made free. Regardless of how many times we pray, we'll never be free unless we know the truth. It's not a free ride. It's not everybody doing everything for you. It's not. It's easy to come stand in a deliverance line or go to a deliverance session and you just show up. Make sure your hair looks right and your whatever and brush your teeth. I hope you do. But you want this person to come and they've prayed up and they're in the Word and they've been seeking God and God's showing them and teaching them and you just show up and you think, that's a free ride. Do you come seeking deliverance after you sought God, prayed, fasted, been in the Word, and prepared for deliverance? You know, they won't even do surgery on you unless they'll give you a guideline. Don't eat anything after midnight. Don't do this. Don't do that. But you're going to come for deliverance. This is a spiritual surgery. And do nothing except. And then if you don't get what you thought you ought to get, you're going to go off, well, they don't have nothing. Praise God. We have our responsibility. That's like people coming to church, sit down on the pew. Barely got there on time, fussed with their wife, kids all the way there. complained about this, get there, sit on the pew, don't, it's too cold, it's too hot, it's this, it's that, that's too long. Freeloaders do nothing. A lot of them won't even pay their tithes, won't even help pay the electric bill, and want to sit there and be critical. God doesn't like that. And look, if God doesn't like your approach to deliverance, you are not getting delivered. If he doesn't, he's been watching you. And they sit there and they wonder why they can't get touched by the Spirit of God. No bad attitudes. Well, you shouldn't have yelled at your wife on the way to church. You shouldn't have been a mean devil in the car as soon as you walk in the church doors. And all smiles and happy. And I always wondered about that. You go to work and you're nice to everybody. Come home and you're fair. You're mean. The people that love you. Praise God. Now, knowing the truth is not knowing information, but the truth is Christ. Or learning of Christ. Or learning Christ, not knowing just about Christ. There are two kinds of people in church. Those that know him and those that know about him. And there's a world of difference. 99% know about him. Maybe 1% know him. Unless we know the truth, we'll never be made free. We never will. Now, how can we learn Christ? I want to say this first. God allows us sometimes to struggle in obtaining deliverance. Why does he do that? Well, for one reason, so we'll appreciate more our deliverance. I've noticed that some people that have to struggle to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, to receive the Holy Spirit, appreciate it more. And somebody just, here it comes, you know. And, oh, well, that's a good ride. Now, what's next, you know? Another reason so we can become wise. When you get saved, it does seem like God drops some things off of us right then. But there's some things, you know, when they went in the promised land, he didn't remove everybody from there. He said the wild beast to take over, you understand? And so there's still some things left in our life that we've got to deal with. I'll tell you, God wants you to learn how to overcome things. How to crucify the flesh. God wants you to learn these things. And if he did everything, just like your children, if you did everything for them, they'd never know how to do anything. You say, hey, you're old enough now, girl, you get in there and wash the dishes. My daughter used to wash the dishes. You're talking about hour and a half, a little pile of dishes. Praise God. But she can wash them pretty good now. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, you got to let them learn some things. And you got to let them get out there and make some mistakes. And you can't run around behind them all the time, protecting them. Thank you, Lord. Now, the snare of sin, both sickness and sin, are bondage of the devil. The woman been over 18 years was bound by the devil. And Jesus said, ought not this daughter of Abraham, that means she's right with God, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day. There is deliverance from physical, mental, emotional bondage, but I want to talk about the bondage to sin, which is the root of all bondages. All bondages. The temptation for all of us is always to return to the snare. It's a temptation to. Our warfare is to not return to the snare or the bait. That's where the warfare is at. Not to go. Once you're free, now, you've got to stay free. I just want to talk to you about that this morning. Staying free once you're delivered. Because if you don't, it's going to be more difficult to be delivered the next time. If you get delivered the next time. Praise God. Anybody ever borrowed money from you and a little while here to come back? Well, I need some money. Well, what did you do with the money I gave you? What did you do with the deliverance I gave you? Did you squander it? Did you not highly value it? Did you not guard it and maintain it? Pray over it? Well, I'm delivered. I guess I can go around. You know, maybe you was an alcoholic. I'm delivered. I can go visit my friends in the honky-tonk. The bait can be something. And I know this. There are sometimes deliverance is so complete, it wouldn't matter if they tried to touch it to your lips. You wouldn't drink it. I know that. But sometimes, and the devil's smart. Right after you're delivered, he's not going to just come the next, you know. He'll wait a little while. I think I heard that this week. He'll let you cool off. Let you, you let up your guard. One of the things we have to watch is after we get our greatest blessings, often comes our greatest temptations or tests. Because why? We let down. We got so blessed, now we let down. The bait can be something new or something old from the past. But the snare is always one and the same thing. It's a bondage, a servitude to sins or iniquity or lawlessness. It is only the bait that varies, not... There's only so many, well, so many bondages out there. But we cannot make ourselves free once we're trapped, caught in prison. But we can avoid being enticed and drawn away into the trap and the prison that it is. Isn't prevention always better than the cure? You know, God was warning me when He woke me up, never, never go back to that. And it wasn't long till I saw why He's warning me. Have you ever noticed that, why is it that David smote, his heart smote him after he cut off the piece from Saul's garment? Why after? Why do we remember? Well, I'm getting ahead there. We must lay aside every weight, the sin which so easily besets us. That's called crucifying our flesh with its affections and lusts. Sins that beset us can be laid aside. They're not bondages. But bondages or traps must be opened so that we can escape. He wouldn't tell us to lay them aside if we could. You understand? And when you need deliverance, it's because you can't. Of course, some are not too alarmed, claiming their sin is only besetting, not a bondage, but remember, no sin shall enter into heaven. Sins that beset must be crucified by us, but bondages must be broken by God through a ministry of deliverance. You know, willful sin leads to bondage. Once we've known knowledge of the truth and we go back, willfully sin. Now, unheeded warning. There's a great reason that people who have been delivered from bondage return to it, and it has to do with memory loss. Now, hear this part. Luke 22:33, and Peter said to him, the Lord, I'm ready to go with you both into prison and to death. But Jesus said, but I pray for you, that your faith fail not, that when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. And he said to him, Lord, And he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day before you shall deny me three times that you know me. Now let's observe if the Lord is a prophet or not a true prophet. Verse 54. Then took they Jesus, led him, brought him to the high priest's home, and Peter followed afar off. Now the Lord's warned him. He's warned him. And when they kindled a fire in the middle of the hall and were sat down, but Peter didn't believe him. Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked on him and said, this man was also with him. He denied, saying, woman, I know him not. After a little while, another saw him and said, you are also one of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after another confidently affirmed, saying, of the truth, this fellow also was with him, for he's a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what you say. I don't know what you're talking about. And immediately while he spoke, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked on Peter. I love this part. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said to him, before the rooster crow, you shall deny me three times. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. You know, Peter and Judas both attempted to repent. Both of them did. But Peter was successful and Judas went out and hung himself. Now why didn't Peter remember the word of the Lord before he sinned? And again, why did David's heart smite him after he cut off Saul's robe? Why, I'm going to say, why didn't Peter remember the word of the Lord before he sinned? It said when he turned, the Lord turned and looked at him, then he remembered the word of the Lord. Peter didn't remember the Lord's warning until he turned and looked at him. After the day of Pentecost, the outpouring, the shedding forth of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will come and bring to our remembrance the things that He said to us. Since He, Jesus, will not be, He's not here in person like He was with Peter. He warned Peter, but the Holy Ghost wasn't given yet. And so Jesus is over there being, questioned, interrogated. Peter's standing over here, said kind of over there far off from Him, followed Him afar off. And the Lord's not at liberty to turn around and say, Peter, I warned you. Don't do it, Peter, don't do it. And sometimes the Lord warned us, and you know what? We're hoping He gives us 3, 4, 5, 6 more warnings. He may not. Just because He did last time doesn't mean He will this time. There's no Holy Ghost to cause Peter to remember that word of the Lord. Do you understand this? How many times have you and I failed God? And after we fail, then we remember. It's like we're blind, we're dumb, we're our brain dead while we're being sucked into a sin. But it's after we sin that our heart smites us. Peter didn't remember. His heart did not smite him. He did not go out and weep bitterly until after the Lord turned and he remembered the word of the Lord. We're talking about staying free, keeping our deliverance. Now, Jesus has sent another comforter, helper, to remind us of his words, and therefore to spare us from failure, which proves very comforting. He's a comforter, to not be aggrieved again with sin and failure. Why don't we remember his words to us before we sin? It's because we make decisions to walk after the flesh and not after the Holy Spirit. Had we made a decision to walk after the Spirit, then the Holy Spirit could have reminded us of the Lord's words. But if only for a season, we jump out, get out of line, that straight and narrow way, and we give in to our flesh and we walk after it, we shut out the Spirit's ability to remind us. We've got to walk in the Spirit so the Holy Spirit can come and remind us before we are drawn away. We forget the word of the Lord, which could prevent us from sinning against the Lord. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Peter never had the full teaching here at that point of how to walk after the Spirit. That came in Romans chapter 6 through 8. And that was after Pentecost. Why don't we remember the word of the Lord until after we fail? It's either because we don't want to remember, or we intend to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Perhaps we just think we'll take a break from being good and from walking after the Holy Spirit for a while. We had a camp, a kids camp, youth camp for several years. About the second or third year, I was sleeping over the cabin with my wife and family, and they come beating on the door. Brother Panson, you got to come over here. This just, the thing's going wild. It's the middle of the night. Went over there and finally settled it all down. The boys had got out of the dorm and beating on the windows of the girls' dorm and just. And there's a lot of people upset and angry and a lot of things going on. And so the next day, I'm not afraid of this. I had a staff meeting. I asked, who let them out? Who let them out? I told you. I know what happens on the last night of camp. I did it myself. I said, I told you. Finally, this young man, speaks up and says, well, you've been so hard on them all week. I thought they were just having a little fun the last night. Praise God. You think it's all right to take a little vacation from being good? Has the devil ever told you you've been good for a long time? You can just do this. This is a little thing. Praise God. You know what that young man did after he left there? He went and told everybody a bunch of lies on me. This is the way it works, isn't it? Praise God. You know where more lies are told in any county than any other place? It's in the courthouse. In the courtroom. lies, a bunch of stuff. I've sat there, I've been there enough. Being a witness, being character witnesses, different things. One time I told you I sued over the Bible, and it was so many lies. This guy, he stood there, he sued me, he had given me a Bible, Oral Roberts Bible, 10 or 12 years before. And I didn't want the Bible, but I was being nice. That's what you get in trouble for. I should have said no, thank you. And he left our church for another reason. And he wanted that Bible to give to his new pastor. He come by, he called up and said, "Do you have that Bible with him?" I said, "No, I don't have that Bible. Oh, that Bible's had 10, 12 years. I'm sure somebody's enjoying it, but I didn't want it." And so he kept coming, he came by, and he finally called and said, "I'll sue you if you don't give me that Bible." I thought he's bluffing. Well, here come the constable serving me with papers and apologizing for doing it. We went to court. My wife, myself, his wife, and him. The only reason I put up with that man is for that wife, because he's so mean to her. He goes first. He gets up there in front of the justice of the peace, and he's got a stack of checks, every check he wrote our church. And he reads each one off the date and how much, and lays it in front of the judge. I'm telling you the truth. And then he all this stuff, and so his wife, she gets up, and I thought, no, she's gonna tell the truth. No, she didn't. I've seen this so much, blood's thicker than whatever. She knew where her bread and butter came from. She wasn't about to cross that man. I don't care. She used to tell us, "I'm gonna shoot him." You know, he was mean. Well, I knew I should not open my mouth, but I did. I tried to defend myself. I should have. Jesus didn't say a word. Didn't do me a bit of good. Well, we got through, and then we're sitting down, and that just a piece of, "I just can't believe two grown men fighting over a Bible." He got through his little speech, and I said, "Sir, I'll tell you something. I'm not fighting over this Bible. I subpoenaed to be here. I'm not fighting over it." Well, he decided that we had to buy another Bible. And it's $140 is what the man gave for it. He had a bunch of them. He was giving a bunch of money to Oral Roberts. My wife was saying, "That's for the internet." I tell you how long ago. But she called up there, and they still had some, got one for $40. But I went back up there to see that little justice of the peace. I'm not scared of those people. I went up there, and the little chicken wouldn't come out of his office. And he wouldn't. And when I brought the Bible up there, he wouldn't. He knew he did wrong. The devil talked out of his mouth. That's not the first time. I was in court another time, a character witness in a divorce proceeding. And after it's over, they brought out that this voice was telling her to jump in the burning barrel. She was crazy, really. She had a real serious problem. I shouldn't say crazy. I apologize. But after it's over, he looks down at me, the judge. And this is county court at law judge. He looks at me and says, "I'll tell you what, the devil doesn't talk to people." He's looking straight at me. And I thought, "You crazy man. You must never read your Bible." Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to stop there. I'm going to stop. Got a few more, but the main thing I want you to take away from this, if that's what the Lord shows you, I give place to the Lord showing. I realize when we're preaching or teaching that every ear is interpreted according to what they need or according to what their experiences in life are. You can preach on holiness, and some people are thinking about how long your hair is, how long your sleeves, and some people are thinking about the heart. And they're both shouting, you know. "Oh, yeah, get them, you know. But this is a real problem about remembering what the Lord has said to you. Don't go like a blind animal to the slaughter. I'm talking about sin. The Holy Ghost, praise God. How many times I failed God after I failed Him. That's when why did I do that? And I would think, why couldn't I thought that before I did it? Why couldn't I thought, why? You know, Joseph did. He said, how can such a man as I do this when she's trying to grab him and pull him in bed? Why couldn't I say what Joseph said? Would you stand with me? Praise God. It's been such a privilege to be here. Meet wonderful friends. New friends. This is a good place. I tell you, I feel God every time I walk in here. I do. I feel God every time. Oh Lord, I just ask you to take these words and it should in the days, months, and years to come, all the words, Lord, that have been given here, they're recorded in heaven, Lord. They are recorded. Some people, Lord, are going to be judged out of those words. They're going to miss heaven. They're going to be at the great white throne judgment. They're going to give account. The books are going to be open, the record of their life. Help us, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. Help us, Lord. I don't think anyone in here intends to fail God. I don't think you get up in the morning and say, I just believe I'll fail God today and mess my life up. I don't think so. Oh, God, help us. God, help us. Lord, I just ask that you fill us with the Holy Ghost. And we'll so walk in the Spirit, Lord, that the Holy Spirit can guide us into all truth. And when the devil's deceiving us about a sin or a temptation, the Holy Ghost will be there to warn us, to show us the truth about that thing. And we can say, how can such a person as I do that? How can I sin against God and do this wicked thing? My God. My God, my God. You know what I'm going to do? I'll rebuke every angry spirit in here this morning. I take authority over every disappointed spirit. I take authority over every spirit of victim spirit. And that everyone in here is walking that kind of a walk of being a victim. Just loosen, Father, in the name of Jesus. Loosen, Father. Stand free, Father. There's a happier way to live. There's a more restful, peaceful way to live. My friend, I want to tell you, God has not mistreated you. And He's not done wrong to you. Let every man be a liar and God be truth. Just because you don't understand. Just because who are we? Who are we? Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Said, praise God. Well, sir, I don't want to miss it. Is there someone that wants prayer? You can come and I'll pray for you. We'll have people pray for you. Don't want to miss anybody. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Bless this food to our body.
Yes.
Nourishment to our body. And bless this camp, Lord, and let it become greater than it's ever been before. Oh God.
Yeah.
Lord, let there be not be enough room in here to seek the people.
Amen.
They're going to come. Because they, not because for our glory, not for the glory of this camp, not for finances, but because people need deliverance and they need the Lord.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you.
Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.